Hello again, this is World Pastor Tony Alamo. This is program number 439. If you'd like to have a copy of it, Sharon will show you how, four different ways at the end of the program. Please specify whether you want a CD or audio tape. Either one of them are absolutely free of charge without postage, and we furnish the postage and handling as well. But just remember, this is program number 439. We have other programs that if you're interested in them or back order, you can back order them. And we have a lot of literature and Bibles. If you need one, you can't afford it, we'll send it to you as well. We have some very good music today by Marty Robbins. I prayed him through when he was down in the area of Dyer, Arkansas, just months before he died of a heart attack. It was wonderful. He was at my house, Susie in my house, and I witnessed to him at our dining room table. And his wife belonged to the Full Gospel Christian Businessmen's meetings. We used to meet with her. We had a worldwide television program back then. Ours was the number one TV program at that time. And his wife used to come to us and ask us to pray for Marty to be saved. And then finally, he did come to our restaurant in Elma, Arkansas. And he sang there for a couple of days, two shows a day. And then he'd come over to the house, and I talked to him about how his wife was praying for him to be saved. And I told him, you know, definitely you're going to have to do it because you've got bad heart, Marty, I hear. And you never know when you're going to go out to meet the Lord. So, and then I explained some of the scriptures to him. He had a few retorts, and I answered his questions. And then asked him to, let's get our souls right with the Lord right now. And I prayed him through. But right now, let's go to the throne of the Lord and ask the Lord. We've got some testimonies and some Bible reading and real strong message today in regarding to the separation between soul and spirit. Bone and marrow, okay? So the true meaning of these words in the New Testament. But let's all go to the throne of the Lord. We know that He's in our hearts if we're saved, we're born again. He's in our body. We have to keep knowing that on a daily basis so that we can always know that the power is with us. We've been washed in the power of the blood. And there is power in the blood of the Lamb because He took all of our sins away and made it possible for Jesus, with His Father by the Spirit, to enter into us. That gave us the power to have our old man, the flesh, nailed to the cross. And I'm going to show the difference of the saying those words spiritually and how some people that are in the spiritual realm take them carnally. So let's go up to the Lord and ask Him to guide, to just take over this program. Father, take over this program. Furnish everyone's heart with an open door, that Your words, which is spirit and life, may enter into their soul and give them the strength to even pray to You and even ask for You to enter into their hearts, first washing them in the precious blood of the Lamb, and then for You to enter into them, nailing their old man, their old life to the cross, their flesh or a soulful life to the cross, and yet raising them up in the spiritual realm for You to be in them, to live out Your life in and through them and to do Your work in and through them. So therefore, the members of our body, which are penetrated with sin, are crucified to the cross, that we walk because of what You've told us, so that we can be led by You, to have be empowered by You to walk the straight and narrow path to the end. For all those that continue on in Your spirit, in Your power, to the end shall be saved. Only those that continue on to the end shall be saved. Lord, we ask that this will happen today, that people that are saints who are about ready to give up, throw in the towel, so to speak, will become extremely zealous, and that their souls may cling to you and receive these things, that they may be given more and more of your power to continue on. Souls saved and the church strengthened in Jesus' mighty name, I pray. And everyone says amen.
Amen.
All right, now as I promised, here's Marty Robbins to sing for you. You know, his wife was so happy when she heard that I prayed him through at our dining room table in Dyer, Arkansas. And here he is to sing. He can now sing this song with all praise and thanksgiving to God. When the roll is called up yonder and Marty says, I'll be there, and he is there. Praise the Lord.
In the morning breaks the eternal bright and fair, when the saved earth shall gather over on the other shore, and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. When the roll is called up yonder, 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 I'll be there. Let us labor for the Master from the dawn to setting sun. Let us talk of all His wondrous love and care. Then when all of life is over and our work on earth is done, and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. When the roll is called up yonder, when the roll is called up yonder, when the roll is called up yonder, yonder I'll be there.
Praise the Lord. That's Marty Robbins. I remember in Cleveland, Ohio, when I was driving down the street, I was listening to secular radio. This is before I was saved. I was with the health studios back then, and I heard this song come on. It was El Paso. And I had to pull my car over because I thought it was so fantastic. It was Marty, he wrote it, and he was singing it, and it was just so good. It put goose pimples all over me. And when he was with me, he says, yeah, I want you to hear this song, Tony. It's El Paso City. It's a new one that I wrote in regards to this guy that's flying over El Paso in an airplane. And then he looks down, and he sees Rose's Cantina down there, and it's like, deja vu. In other words, like it's the song that I said to Marty that's depicting a reincarnation and there's no such thing. And he said, well, I really think it's good. And we kind of got into a little argument. I said, yeah, but the Lord doesn't think so, because there's the Bible says that it's appointed unto man once to die, and after that the judgment. You're not going to come back again and look down at Rose's Cantina where you used to hang out before, and then a bullet went through your chest and all this kind of stuff. I said, that was a fantastic song, but now you're talking about something that's unscriptural. Don't do it, Marty. If you do, God will probably take your life. And so he says, yeah, okay. You know, he just kind of put it off. But then I heard that he had done it, and the Lord did take his life. I remember he really loved the restaurant that we had at that time. He had asked for some half of a chicken. He said, that's so good, can I have another one? So we immediately had somebody bring it back to the dressing room where we were. But no, you don't talk about things that are unscriptural like that, or you don't write songs like that. It was a good song, but I doubt whether it sounded good, but The words were very unscriptural. There's no such thing as reincarnation. But these people, they say, well, how do you explain that demons or that people have never been to China before and all of a sudden they're put under sodium pentothal and they start speaking in Chinese or Siamese or whatever, different languages. What it is there's some demon that had the same weakness, somebody had the same weakness as you do, and they died, and the demon that was in their body leaves that body and comes and enters into somebody that has the same weakness that the man did that just died. And so this actual demon spirits are real. This is real as the spirit that's in you. And so when you go under sodium pentothal, somebody can come there and start talking in different languages, and all of a sudden one of them connects, and then you realize that there's something in you that's like deja vu, or you go someplace and you say, I've been here before. That means that there could be a demon in you, and very unless you're born again as a spirit. And if that happens, well, you need to get saved and get rid of that demon, because people are saying, well, I have this demon and that demon, and so it's like a prestigious thing to have a demon, but it's not prestigious at all. We can't have any demon in us and get into the kingdom of heaven. If that demon leaves immediately when you're washed in the precious blood of the Lamb and the Spirit of God enters into you, that strikes out all those evil spirits, those imps. In the Spanish Bible, it says land imps. Land imps. Is it that way it explains it?
Yes.
Okay, praise the Lord. She said yes. She's from Puerto Rico, and that's she has a Spanish Bible and a English Bible, and it's very close. I mean, it's just exactly the same way, only it says it in just a little different way. All right, now we have some testimonies here. Where's the first one from?
From Mexico.
Okay.
Dear Pastor Tony Alamo, I wish good health and many blessings from God to you, your family, your congregation, and all the brothers in the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ. Dear Pastor Tony Alamo, I thank both God and you for the literature and the Bibles which you sent, and which I have distributed on buses, in factories, on automobiles, telephone booths, and wherever else I could. I'm running out of literature. Many people are being affected by your literature. It is so biblical. May God touch your heart to send me more of these biblical literatures that focus on the precious Word of God.
Praise the Lord. Send him thousands of pieces of literature. This is a person that's really got a burden from the Lord, and it's got a zeal to win souls. All right, then what?
Pastor Tony Alamo, I beg you, send me more literature. When I am not distributing your literature, I feel bad because I want to serve God. I want to keep learning from your literature until someday I could preach the precious word of salvation. Please send me literature on Catholicism, such as The Pope's Secrets, The Fugitive Pope, and also Removing the Ugly Veil, Sons of God, God Has No Mother, Satan's Secret Agents, and Flying Saucers. Also, please send me your messages on cassette. Thank you for everything you have sent me so far. May God continue to richly bless you and provide all the means you need so that you can keep helping the needy and those that work for God. I have another request. Please, Pastor Lamo, in the precious name of Jesus, send us some clothing and shoes. Even used would be appreciated. The following are the sizes. When we buy clothes, we cannot buy food. Please also help us with some t-shirts and sweatshirts, size medium and large. Please pray for my family, my wife, and my son, that God will touch their hearts and give them the desire to seek His face and precious salvation, and that God will give me the spiritual strength and the physical energy to continue distributing your gospel literature, which contains the words of salvation. May God richly and powerfully bless you in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Yours, your brother in the faith, Jose, from San Nicolas de los Garza, Mexico.
All right, so we sent out boxes just today. We sent out boxes, I believe, many times a week. And we have a warehouse full of different things like that. And so if you have a need, even if you're in the United States here, I mean, a lot of you people in prison, your loved ones are not able to support themselves. And if you write us and let us know the sizes that they need, or if they need food or things like that, we'll get things to them right away. We don't waste any time when we hear of human need. Okay, do you have another testimony there?
Yes, from Malawi, Africa.
Okay.
Dear Pastor Tony Alamo, greetings to you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. First, I would like to thank you for the good job you are doing of spreading your newsletters, even as far as here in Malawi, through our brother Lucius. These newsletters have powerful spiritual messages, which helped me become born again and also made me strongly hate Satan. Your messages are more valuable than money to buy life, and these messages are bringing life to more Malawians in the district. For this reason, I am requesting, Pastor, that if it is possible, may you establish a printing house as a part of your ministry here so that it may print and spread your messages in the Chichewa language.
Praise the Lord. I pray that God will touch somebody's heart out there to send enough money so that we can set up a printing house there. And in many other parts of the world, that people want printing houses there so that they can print gospel literature. And you can hear in these letters that the literature is definitely saving souls.
Amen.
And, you know, if you don't do that, you don't have any compassion for human souls. The Lord says, inasmuch as you had no mercy on others, I have no mercy on you. And he sends you into the lake of fire where there's weeping, wailing, gnashing on your teeth for pain and chewing on your tongue. Forever. I mean, doesn't that, you know, that should touch people's hearts. So we pray, Lord, that you'll touch human hearts out there to help us out in these last days, because there's so many people that are frustrated because they don't have the wherewithal to get this literature out as much as it should be given out. All right, then what?
Our mother language here is Chichewa. I am a distributor of your newsletters here through Brother Lucius. But the only problem we are facing when distributing is that many people in the area are illiterate, and when we give them the newsletters, they need interpretation into our mother language of Chichewa. In so doing, we have established more branches of small congregations whereby we do preach what is in the newsletters. We are traveling to different villages, distributing, spreading, and preaching the messages. Please, Pastor, consider my request. People here welcome your church and ministry. May the loving God and Jesus bless you and your entire ministry. Yours sincerely, Alec from Tengani, Malawi, Africa.
Okay, right. So, you people, won't you pray about this and let the Lord touch your heart? Even anything that you can send, $5, $10, even a dollar, it helps, you know, if you can do that. And if you can't, well, then it's all the more reason to send something in here, because the Lord amplifies your finances 100 times if you will give to a work that's really winning souls. And you can see that we're doing that, and that the other ministries are preaching false doctrines, and yet they're flourishing like the Green Bay tree. Let's get together here and do a work for the Lord, all right?
Amen.
Come on, support the Christian work, and you'll see that God will really bless you as never before. Now, the Bible's intention, or the God's intention, and my intention, is not that you misunderstand this verse as signifying the inactivity of our minds and talents, where it says for you to have your old man nailed to the cross and your soul life and all your former conduct. The Lord doesn't want you to give up activity, but, you know, we turn our inactivity to the Lord. We want it to be active now for the Lord. We were very active for Satan out in the world. If there was a party or, you know, some kind of all-night thing, fling, for instance, oh, we would stay up all night and sometimes two nights in a row to go to something like that. But it seems to be such a chore for some people to even go to church. They become totally inactive in their minds and their talents, and their bodies don't any longer function. They just think, well, the Lord is supposed to do it all. That isn't true. He wants to live in and through you, and he wants your minds and he wants your mind to be the mind of Christ and your talents to be given, surrendered over to the Lord. If you have a talent, if you know how to sing or you know how to play a musical instrument, or you have a zeal to win souls like these people that you've just heard, then you need to let it be known to the pastor so that we can get you into a position to where, if you love to cook, for instance, so that we can, so your bodies, your minds, and your talents can be used for the Lord. The Lord does not want inactivity of our minds that are now the minds of the Lord, and the talents that you have, use them for God. You did it out in the world for the devil, now do it for the Lord. The Lord clearly tells us that in losing our old soul life, we will keep it unto eternal life. We will keep our souls unto eternal life because our soul now, in other words, our emotions and our desires and everything is being used now for the Lord rather than for Satan. Just as the sinful body might be destroyed, our body is filled with Satan. We can't, God gives us this, a new soul, a new spirit rather, and he gives us a new heart. But our bodies, the deeds that our sinful bodies does, must be destroyed. It must be put to death, but yet it's put to death by our being obedient to the Lord. Again, in losing our soul life, which is the wicked life that we lived before, the life of the flesh, we will keep our eternal life, our life, in other words, unto eternal life, just as the sin, quote, the sinful body might be destroyed, unquote. That's Romans 6:6. This does not mean that the destruction of our body parts, our arms, legs, hands, and feet, in the head and our eyes of the human body, it also means that the committal of the soul life to death must not be construed or be understood as meaning the negation or of the destruction of any of its functions. Even though the body of sin has been dealt with or destroyed, we still yield our members to God, the members of our body, the instruments of the instruments of righteousness instead of unrighteousness as we did before. That's Romans 6:13. Also, it's the same thing when natural life is sacrificed to death. We shall find a renewal, like the Lord gives us a new heart and a new spirit. It means that we shall find revival. And the main thing also is restraint by the Holy Spirit. We are restrained to do the evil things that we did before because the Word tells us to. So there's a restraint by the Holy Spirit in all the faculties of our soul. So we have a soul still, but the former soul life that we lived before is nailed to the cross, that old man, the devil. So it doesn't imply that from then on we become made out of stone or wood without thought or feeling. We're still going to think and still going to have feeling, but we cannot use any of the parts of the soul, the old life, the old man. It doesn't mean that every part of the body, as well as every organ of the soul, still exists and is meant to be fully engaged. Not as it was before, it was put to death. Only now they are being renewed, revived, and resurrected or restrained by the Holy Spirit to do the work of God. You get it?
Amen.
Okay. You get it? Got it? Good. The point about this is whether the soul's faculties are to be regulated by our natural life or by the supernatural life, which involves our spirits. These faculties remain as usual, always. What is unusual now is the power which formerly activated our souls has been put to death. The former activation of our souls has been put to death. The things that we formerly have done with our souls has been put to death. The Holy Spirit now has made God's supernatural power our life. And the other people's lives that have committed themselves to death on the cross. All of us now are being used by the Lord rather than Satan. Amen?
Amen.
We're not living according to the flesh or the soul life, but according to the Lord. I want to amplify this subject a bit more. The various organs of our soul continue after the natural life has been relinquished in death. In other words, we just turn our back on our soul life, the old life that we live. We don't go to the different places that we did before we were saved. We don't hang out with the same people. We can witness to them, but we don't hang out with them any longer. So to have our soul life nailed to the cross does not at all mean or imply that thereafter we shall be completely lacking in our zeal. We have to have emotions. Jesus had emotions. We're not lacking in our zeal. We don't have a zeal to go to parties anymore, but we have a zeal to witness and testify to souls like these people that are writing in to me wanting more literature so that they can see people saved, because it builds their faith when they see people reading the gospel and then giving their lives to the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
That gives them more zeal. Our thought, our emotions, and our will, our zeal, are not to be lacking, not completely lacking in zeal, thought, emotions, and will. We most assuredly read the Bible of God's, or the Word of God, that God's thought has thoughts, intentions, desires, satisfaction, love, hate, wrath, and joy. The Lord has all these different emotions, amen?
Amen.
Depending on our conduct. On top of this, the scripture often reads that our Lord Jesus loved, rejoiced, was sorrowful, was zealous, was angry. It is even recorded that Jesus wept, that he offered up prayers and supplications with a loud cries and tears in Gethsemane's garden, Hebrews 5:7. We are his soul faculties annihilated. We have to, our soul faculties, the soulish life, the things that we did before, have to be annihilated. Is that what we are? Are we God's soul faculties annihilated? And do we become cold and dead persons? Man's soul is man's own self. We have to change. We have to be born again. We have to be renewed. So we are renewed now to our own godly self. It is where one's personality resides and whence it is expressed. If the soul does not accept power from the Holy Spirit life or from their own spirit life, then it would draw its power for living from its natural soulful satanic life. The soul is a composite of organs continues, but the soul as a life principle must be denied or put to death, the old soul life. That power must be consigned to death so that the power of the Holy Spirit alone may operate all faculties or the pods of the soul without their interference from the natural life. So in this, do we see resurrection life? Without the supernatural life of God, there can be no resurrection after death. So if you don't have the supernatural life of God in you, There's no way that you could be resurrected after you die into the kingdom of heaven. The Lord Jesus could go through death, and yet he raised from the dead because residing in him is God's uncreated spirit, God's uncreated life. Now, in the book of Numbers, you can read chapter 31, verses 22 and 23. Whenever they would have victory over their enemies, and they would take all their gold and silver and the brass and iron and tin and the lead, everything that may be able to abide the fire. So in other words, we have to go through the fire. That means we have to take up the cross and deny ourselves and to go through the fire. That's a fire. Ye shall make it go through the fire. Because they could not bring all these things, like gold and silver. They'd capture people, too. And they capture their gold and silver and brass and iron and tin and lead and all these other things that they take, but they had to make it go through the fire. And it shall be clean, God said. So if we carry the cross, that's the only way that we can get the dross or the filth out of our natural life is when it goes through the fire. Nevertheless, it shall be clean. Nevertheless, it shall be purified with the water of separation. Okay, so, and all that abideth not the fire, if you don't go through the fire, ye shall make it go through the water. You have to separate yourself from sin no matter which way you go. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So, but we're really supposed to go through the fire. Take up the cross and follow the Lord. And if you're a shut-in or something and you're not going through any, you might be going through fire, you know, because of your sickness, your disease, your infirmities, because you still haven't gotten to the point in the scriptures to where you understand the fullness of them as I'm preaching tonight, or I'm teaching you tonight. We have in us God's uncreated spirit and God's uncreated life. This makes it possible for us to go through the fire, and it gives us the actual power to separate ourselves from sin, Satan, the world, and our flesh. Amen?
Amen.
So it's even mentioned here in the Old Testament. The Lord wants to know what your metal is, what you're made out of. Amen? And
Amen.
So he does put us through the fire. We get tested. He doesn't tempt us, but he tests us, just as he did Job. This life cannot be destroyed, this uncreated spirit of God, the uncreated spirit of the Lord. It instead will always emerge into the fullness and the glory of the resurrected, or the resurrection. Jesus poured out his soul to death and committed his spirit, which was God's life, back into the hands of God. He committed his soul back into the Lord, his spirit. His death set him free from the soul life. He was no longer in the flesh. He never committed sin. He never let his flesh take advantage of the Holy Spirit in him, and released God's spiritual life into greater splendor than that of this world. Amen?
Amen.
When we leave this world, we'll be with the Lord if you continue on in him, and you'll see that you're in a more splendorous place. Amen?
Amen.
Now, the world government, which is the Antichrist and the Vatican and the media, tells that I live in splendor. Well, in this they are right, okay? We were living in a shack behind a shack, and they said we were living in splendor. And they were right. Amen?
Amen.
Because the Spirit of God is in us. Amen?
Amen.
The resurrected Spirit of the Lord. It's difficult, most assuredly, to understand why God Upon transmitting his life into us, then all of a sudden requires us to experience death with him. Or you might call it collaborating in death with Christ so that his life may be resurrected inside of us. This is nevertheless God's law of life, and once possessing God's life, we then are empowered to be periodically go through death and continue to come out alive. This is like going through fire and water, like gold and silver, as I just mentioned in the book of Numbers, chapter 31, verse 22 and 23. God wants us to come out like gold. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
So we have to be resurrected. God has to, Christ with his Father in us, whereby the Spirit must reside in us. This is nevertheless God's law of life. And once possessing God's life, we then are empowered to periodically go through a death and continue to come out alive and well. This is like going through the fire and water, like gold and silver and lead and tin and all the other things that the people had to go through in the Old Testament. We go through the fire and the water of separation, as mentioned in the Old and New Testament, by continuously losing our soul life in death. We may continuously gain more abundantly, gloriously, the life of the Lord Jesus Christ, of the life of God in his resurrection. God's desire is to take our soul life through death in company with his own life in us. So he's going through it with us, amen?
Amen.
That's why it's so easy. Whenever his life in us is resurrected in our daily experience, our soul also is raised with him and produces fruit to eternity. We can become more and more like him. We're purged. We're going through the fire. It's separating us from sin, Satan, the world, and our flesh. This is one of the most profound and true lessons in the spiritual life. The Holy Spirit alone can unfold to us the necessity of death as well as that of resurrected life. Resurrection in the Spirit of Revelation makes everyone understand how much our spiritual experience shall suffer if we do not hate our natural life and deliver it to death. Only when our soul, accompanied by God's indwelling life, his Spirit, passes through death and resurrection, can we bear or take up the cross or bear spiritual fruit and keep it for life eternal. The Bible tells us that the Word of God is quick and powerful, and it also tells us that it is able to show us the dividing of spirit and soul. It's very important for us to know the difference between our spirit and our soul and their respective operations. There's an operation of the spirit and there's an operation of the soul. The soul has to be nailed to the cross. Amen?
Amen.
And the spirit has to take over. So there's a difference, a grand difference between the spirit and the soul. It has to lead us to the present point in that regard. For a Christian who strives after God, the element to be apprehensive about it is the inordinate activity of the soul beyond the measure set by God. God sets a standard, all right?
Mm-hmm.
And he doesn't allow the soul to go beyond the standard that he set, that God set for us. The soul unlawfully attempts to go beyond the measure set by God, or the standard set by God. The soul has been in ascendancy for such a long duration. In other words, we've been walking according to the soul life, the sinful life, for so long. In other words, we have walked in the soul life for so long that in the matter of consecration, in other words, to separate ourselves from sin, Satan, the world, and the flesh, it even presumes to take upon itself the unmitigated goal, to take upon itself the task of realizing that act to God's satisfaction. In other words, our soul thinks that God will be satisfied with our soul life if we usurp the Spirit of God. That's how long we've been walking in sin, and that he'll go along with it. Oh, we can just go out and commit adultery, fornication, we can do homosexuality and all these things, and God is going to be satisfied with that. You're crazy. Amen? Yeah. Many Christians are unaware how drastically the cross must work in their lives so that ultimately their natural power for living may be denied. These Christians don't even know the reality of the indwelling Holy Spirit. And on top of this, they don't know the God's authority must extend to the gathering under his control, the thoughts, desires, feelings, and our entire intentions, in our entire being. Without Christians having an inner appreciation of this fact, the Holy Spirit is unable to accomplish everything he wishes to do. He can't really accomplish anything he wants to do in you. The greatest temptation for an earnest and zealous saint is to engage his own strength in God's service rather than to wait humbly upon the Lord until the Lord gives us direction. In other words, for the Holy Spirit to show you his will, you won't want to wait for that. And for the Holy Spirit to show you what he wants you to do, to perform, whatever he wants you to do. So this call of the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ is to call us to hate our natural life, to seek opportunity to lose it, not to keep it at all. Our Lord wants us to sacrifice self and be yielded entirely to the working of his Holy Spirit. If we are to experience daily, in a fresh way, his true life and the power and guidance of the Holy Spirit, we must be willing to present to death every opinion, thought, idea, labor, and be dead in the death of the soul life. Our soul life. The Lord additionally touches upon the subject of our hating or loving our self life. The soul is invariably self-loving unless from the very depth of our heart we begin to abhor our natural life. We shall not be able to walk genuinely by the Holy Spirit. We won't be able to serve the Lord or go to heaven either. Do you not realize that the basic condition for your own spiritual walk is to fear our self-life? Don't let it take you and its false wisdom. And to rely absolutely upon the Holy Spirit is what the Lord wants. This war between the soul and the spirit is waged secretly but intermittently within God's children. The soul seeks to retain its authority and move independently while the Spirit strives to possess and master everything for the maintenance of God's authority. Before the Spirit achieves its ascendancy, before we can really ascend to the fullness of the Lord, the soul has tended to take the lead in all regards. Should a Christian allow self to be the master of ourselves while expecting the Holy Spirit to help and to bless him in his work? I think not. It undoubtedly will fail to produce spiritual fruit unto the Lord. Christians cannot anticipate a walk in the work pleasing to God if they have not put their soul life to death by persistently in denying its authority and unconditional laying it in the ground, in the dust. Accept all power in patience and activity of the natural life are deliberately and one by one delivered to the cross, and a ceaseless vigil is made and maintained, it will seize every chance to revive itself, the soul life. The reason for so many defeats in the spiritual realm is because this sector of the soul has not been dealt with in a drastic way, drastically. If the soul life is not stripped away through death, but is allowed to mingle with the Spirit, believers shall continue in defeat continuously every day of their life. If our walk does not exclusively express God's power, it shall soon be vanquished by man's wisdom, which is nothing, is foolishness, and opinions. Our natural life is a formidable obstacle to spiritual light. Never satisfied with God alone. It's inwardly and invariably add something of their own extra to God, therefore it is never at peace. Before the self is touched, God's children live by very changeable stimulations and sensations. That is why they exhibit a way up and down existence, because they allow their soulful energies to mix in with spiritual experiences. Their ways are often unstable. Man's ways are always unstable. They accordingly are not qualified to lead others. Their unrelinquished soul power continually deflects themselves from letting the Spirit be central. In the excitement of our soulish fleshly emotions, the Spirit suffers greatly. Great loss in freedom and sensation, joy and sorrow. They imperil the believer's self-control and set itself consciousness on a rampage. The mind, if ever active, may affect the and disturb the quietness of the Spirit. To admire spiritual knowledge is good, but must it exceed spiritual knowledge or the bounds that the Lord has set for it? We can't exceed God. We can't do any better than God, so you just might as well relax and receive him. Amen?
Amen.
The result shall be merely by the letter, and the letter kills. killeth. It's not spirit, it's not life. This explains why many workers, where they preach the most excellent truth, are so cold and dead. Many saints who seek a spiritual walk share a common experience. One of the groanings, one of groanings because their soul and spirit are not at once a thought. Will and a notion of their soul often rebels against the spirit, refuses to be directed by the spirit, and resorts to independent actions, which contradict the Word of God, the Holy Spirit. This is why the world or the secular governments are so up and down. The life in their spirit is bound to suffer in such a situation, even Christians. Now, given a condition like this in the believer, I'm not talking about secular now. The teaching Hebrews 4:12 takes on a paramount significance, where the Holy Spirit instructs us therein how to divide spirit and soul. Experientially, the dividing of these two, not a mere doctrine, it is preeminently a life, a must, in the believer's walk with the Lord. Just what is, or it is essential meaning. It means, first of all, that by His Word and through His indwelling Spirit, God enables we Christians to differentiate the experience, the operations, the expressions of the Spirit, all distinct from those of the soul. Therefore, he may perceive what is of the Spirit and what is of the soul. The dividing of these two elements denote, additionally, that though willing cooperation, the child of God can follow a pure spiritual path unimpeded by the soul. The Holy Spirit in Hebrews 4 sets forth the high priestly ministry of the Lord Jesus and also explains its relationship to us. Verse 12 declares that the Word of God is living and acting sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and spirit, of joints and marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intents of the heart. Verse 13 follows by informing us that before Him no creature is hidden, that all are open and laid bare to the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. All right, well, my time is up, and I'm just getting into how they used to divide the soul and the spirit and be able to look into the sacrifices in the Old Testament, but we'll get into that tomorrow. But everything is open unto the Lord, including everything that we've done in our lives, good or bad. And the Bible says no matter how much good we've done, we still need to be born again of the Spirit. And so, in other words, we need Him in us to be able to live a Christian life. It's impossible to live a Christian life without Jesus with His Father by the Spirit in us. So, the Lord demands that we become born again of the Spirit. We are born in the flesh, now we have to be born again to get rid of all the, be clean, go through the fire, to take up the cross and follow the Lord and be separated from this world by the Holy Spirit, which is symbolic. Water is the symbol of it. So say these words to the Lord now. Say to Him, "My Lord and my God, have mercy upon my soul, a sinner. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, and I believe that He died on the cross and shed His precious blood for the forgiveness of all my former filthy sins, and I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit. I open the door of my heart, and I invite you into my heart, Lord Jesus. Wash all my filthy former sins away in the precious blood that you shed for me. You will not turn me away, Lord Jesus. You will save my soul. I know because your word says so. Your word says that all who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And therefore I am calling upon you, Lord. And therefore I know you have heard me, and I know that you have answered me, and I know that I'm saved. And I thank you, Lord Jesus, for saving my soul. Now just raise your hands and praise and thank the Lord. If you're driving, don't do it now. Just go over to the side of the road and park and do it. And share and tell them four different ways to receive a copy of this program, number 439. Please specify whether you want a CD or an audio tape.
Go to alamoministries.com or write to Tony Alamo Christian Ministries, P.O. Box 6467, Texarkana, Texas 75505, or call area code 479-782-7370. That's 479-782-7370, or fax to area code 479-782-7406.
Praise the Lord. This is World Pastor Tony Alamo saying tune in tomorrow for another powerhouse of a message from God. And this really, I really mean that it is from God. And here's my friend, the one that I led to the Lord, Marty Robbins, again to sing, There is Power in the Precious Blood of the Lamb.
Would you be free from your burden of sin? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you o'er evil a victory win? There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Would you be whiter, much whiter than snow? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Sin stains are lost in its life-given flow. There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Would you do service for Jesus, your King? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you live daily His praises to sing? There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb.